Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
Imagine having a beautifully landscaped garden in which a part of almost every single plant was edible. How perfect and clever would that be? One of our Muddy Boots listeners is in the process of planting a garden just like that and would love some more ideas. So I am going to urge Keith to come up with loads of them today. Keith, this is a subject that is right up your alley, as the majority of your own garden is landscaped with edible plants, isn't it?
It is indeed. So I have 200 square metres in the backyard and I've got over 70 fruit trees in there. I've got 8 raised beds for vegetables. And I've got lots of apples, pears, plums, apricots, peaches, nectarines, olives, citrus, cherries, and many more. So
that's a long list.
It's a big list, but, you know, we're talking about 200 square metres. It's not a huge area, you know, but it's just the way that you go about doing it. And with, say, your fruit trees, say plums, for instance, or apples, you can have multi-grafted plants on those, so you're getting your cross-pollinators already set up.
That's how you're managing to get the 70
exactly.
fruit trees in there. Look, it's such a brilliant idea, especially now with the cost of fresh fruit rising astronomically. We really need to prioritise food in our gardens,
yep,
don't we?
We do.
Okay, so let's start from scratch. For someone wanting to start a landscaped edible garden from the beginning, what is step one?
Step one is making sure that your soil is all perfectly capable of growing your food because you're going to be eating it.
Then
so make sure that you put lots and lots of compost, lots of biochar, lots of Monash beautiful rock mineral fertilizers and mycogold, which is all the fungal spores, and you will set yourself up for a bumper of a crop. The best place to start, of course, after you've done the soil, is thinking about your ground covers. All right,
so. Well, we've got to make sure you've got some light first, got to be sunny.
Yep. Well,
pretty much.
Yes, the aspect
has
got to be right, yeah. So, you know, you want as much sun as you can possibly get, but, you know, minimum 5 hours and you still get a very, very good productive garden.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, okay. All right, so what about drawing up a plan? Should that be next? Because you want to have, if you want to do it properly, you need to have a well-landscaped plan.
Yeah, because it's nothing worse than putting a plant in and not thriving and then you've got to pull it out and move it or whatever else. So you do start. Best to start off with a plan and you start it off by measuring up the area that you've got and do it to scale. A scale that I like to use on a regular basis is either 1 to 100, which is 1 centimetre equals 1 metre, or 1 to 50, which is 1 centimetre equals half a metre.
Okay.
So it's a bigger scale, 1 to 50. So you set it up, and you can go and buy a scale ruler.
That's good.
From Officeworks have got those. And then once you've got that, then you would also get yourself a template that has got a whole series of circles that are also at a scaled rate. So, for instance, you might have a circle that might be that equals 4 metres, and you'll have a tree, for instance, that might equal that as well. So you use that to work out what the plant is. So starting off with, say, ground covers, for instance, and we talk about it, say, a thing like a prostrate rosemary, for instance.
Yes, yes.
It'll get to maybe 1.5 metres. So you use your template circle and you go to 1.5 metre circle and you draw that on. And then you use your other plants and place it around that. But, yeah, so you've got lots of opportunities then to make that work by, you know, doing a bit of research, understanding what the spread and the plant is and the height of the plant.
And you need to obviously think about the style of garden, whether how formal it's going to be. Think about the style of containers you're going to use, raised garden beds.
Yep.
Putting it where you're going to put your shed, your potting bench, where your water is, your hothouse, your greenhouse. And paths for easy access, all that sort of thing. It's all going to be fitted into your design, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. And then you move on to getting a list going of what sort of edibles you want to plant.
Exactly.
Yes?
Yes. So we start off with ground covers.
Yes.
So there's ground cover plants that will produce a little egg-shaped fruit that's called a pepino. It's an edible little plant. It covers the ground. It's productive.
Mm-hmm.
You get some good food from it.
Yep.
And then you've got Natal plums, which is also can also be a great ground cover.
Plum.
It's a plum, yeah. Natal plum.
Wow.
And then of course you've got strawberries.
Yep.
Which there's lots and lots of different types of strawberries.
They would be delicious having absolutely them fantastic. Covering the ground. No.
And then you've got your herbs are also make great ground covers.
Yes.
So we've got prostrate rosemary, you've got thyme, chamomile, marjoram, oregano, and one out of left field, junipers.
Oh, juniper berries.
Juniper berries, yeah. Yes, so you can make your own gin.
Okay, so you've got to choose your favourite herbs, your seeds, your berries, your fruit trees.
Exactly.
Vegetables.
All that.
And edible flowers as well.
Exactly. So there's a little ground cover, almost a succulent. It's called baby sunrose.
Yeah.
And it's got a beautiful succulent leaf, but it has a little bright red flower. And you can actually harvest the leaves and the flowers and mix them into a salad. So that's a great little ground cover.
That's a fantastic edible flower.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about, obviously, you think about where you live and which trees and which plants are suitable to your climate. That's something that needs to be researched quite
extensively,
but, I would have thought.
You know, if we're talking fruit trees, well, you know, you manage the fruit trees. You know, you provide them with the bright growing conditions, and that gets back to what we spoke about right at the beginning, preparing your soil, getting that all set up, and then mulching and pruning.
Yes.
Now, so these are all very important things. But, you know, there's lots and lots of, opportunities there to have a wonderfully large edible garden.
Okay. So then once your list of plants has been chosen,
mm-hmm.
it would be time to work out how and where the edibles can actually fit into the plan in order to build that edible garden that is attractive as well.
Yeah.
So you need to plan the basic form and then consider what plants are going to keep that form in place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep.
And then there's the plant scale, as you said, the form, the colour of the edibles as well.
Yes.
Am I on the right track
here,
Keith?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And then when you're with your raised beds and pots, which are adding structure to the, you know, they add structure to that form as well.
Give you that extra dimension.
But the pots can be moved around with the sun, so that makes it easy. Mm-hmm. The beds are easy to work with because you can sit on them as well, so it's good to fit them into the design as well. And then there's when you're talking about vertical design.
Mm-hmm.
We think about what sort of things like what sort of trellising or staking we're going to use, and that has to be, you know, because you can get some really good looking stake
obelisks.
Sort of, obelisks. That's what I'm sort of doing with my hands here and trying to think what the name of the word is. Obelisks. Obelisks, which look fantastic as well. So there are so many things to consider before you get to that. I know you started talking on the ground covers. Mm. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to go back a bit to say, okay, all these things we do, and then we think about what plants we like that will grow in our area that are going to look fantastic as well.
Exactly. Another thing that I really like to do with nearly all my designs now is rather than having an organic mulch, I rather go for a mineral mulch, so something like granitic sand.
Yes.
And once you've put your soil right, you've got all your goodness in your soil, then you put the granitic sand over the top of that as a mulch.
Mm.
And then you can have pathways that are just bordered by the various edible components in that garden as well.
Yeah.
And you can formalise that up with some edging plants, for instance, or some hedging plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you could put in imagine a border of edible blueberries, for instance. That you just wander around and pick the berries as you go, or chili and guavas.
Except the birds get the berries.
Yeah, but you can always
net them. I have a problem
them.
With that.
You'll always net them.
You've got to net the damn things.
Chili and guava is another beautiful little small hedging plant that you could use beside a pathway.
That sounds beautiful. What about walls? Good to make use of north-facing walls as well.
Yes, great for espaliered plants. So if you want to put some espaliered apples or citrus or any espaliered aspect, it's just brilliant.
Yep.
But we go back to climbing structures, for instance. Yep. Another thing that I use a lot in my landscape designs is the use of the concrete reinforcing mesh.
Yes, which is fantastic. A lot of people are talking about that now. I think that's become quite... commonly used.
It is, yeah. So, it's a great idea. So you can actually create tunnels by, having a half circle archway.
With the mesh.
With the mesh, yeah. So you'd buy one length of mesh, and it's it's 6 meters by 3 meters, and you just layer it up into an arch, support it with a couple of poles, and then you can grow up lots of things over there. You'd have a permanent tunnel created with something like passion fruit, or you could have deciduous forms, something like a male and a female kiwi fruit. Mm-hmm. One on, so you got that beautiful effect. That's a deciduous form, but there's another kiwi that's called Issei, and that's an evergreen form of a kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could also use that for annual plants. So you could grow things like pumpkins up the trellis.
Yes.
You could grow zucchinis over it. Cucumbers. All those climbing plants. Well, you can use that structure to create.
Yeah.
And of course, then you've got this wonderful seasonality that you've created through the whole thing.
And
so
some
it can
look
absolutely brilliant.
Sorry, some of those plants you just mentioned can get a bit out of hand. But if they're actually sitting on that structure like that, they're not going to really go crazy. Because there are certain plants that you, if it's a formal landscape design, some of those plants like tomatoes and things like that get a bit messy. So they maybe have to be contained to a certain vegetable garden area, do you think?
All my tomatoes are grown in containers within the raised bed. So they've got supports all the way around them,
Yes. Okay, now, what about planting flower beds as well? We could plant edibles and flower beds together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flowers,
and you could use a little border of strawberries, for instance.
Yes.
It's a beautiful evergreen plant.
Yeah.
And it becomes so useful.
And you mentioned the ground covers. They are great as a way of deterring weeds as well.
Oh, absolutely. So fantastic for that.
Double, effect, and retaining moisture as well. Of course, can't forget that. Neaten edibles with edging, as you just said, either plants like prostrate rosemary or some other garden edging brick
works
or something like that can be great. So
you
can use plants or you can use bricks or some sort of other edging as well.
Yeah, but if we go back to the granitic sand, the actual pathways are just where there's no plants,
and
you can just have those wandering all the way through.
Okay.
So it's a great way of utilising that space. Let the plants be the borders.
Yeah, that's true. That's very good. What about shady spots?
Shady spots? Well, there's lots of things you can grow in the shade. Blueberries will take a fair amount of shade. But then you've got things like camellias. Mm. And, of course, you've got the Camellia sinensis, which is the tea camellia.
That's right. Well, that's an edible.
So it's an edible.
Didn't think of that.
It makes a fabulous, fabulous edge. The Chilean guavas will also grow quite well in that sort of a shady sort of a situation.
Okay.
And then you've got other plants that you could put in as understories.
Yeah.
A great plant for a shady area is also the macadamia.
Mm-hmm.
That'll tolerate, quite a fair amount of shade because it is naturally an understory plant.
Yeah.
And, of course, another plant for an understory would be a thing like avocados, which will grow down here quite well.
That sounds delicious. It sounds delicious.
So there's lots and lots of things you can do.
Yeah.
Before we even start thinking about the berry lines, the cane berries, for instance, the raspberries and the blackberries.
Yeah.
And the blackberries today, if you get one called Waldorf, that doesn't produce any thorns. So it's a thornless blackberry. Very, very easy to grow. My grandkids up in Langwarrin have absolutely loved, climbing and wandering through the blackberry bushes there and just picking until their faces are black.
Red or black. God. Well, I found a list of the most attractive edibles. Now, this is just a list that I found that are also easy to grow, it says. Now, tell me if you disagree with any of these as I haven't worked with them all. In fact, many of them. Rose hips.
From the roses, yep.
Sunflowers.
Yes, easy.
Oregano, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Nasturtium, obviously.
Yes.
Basil. I'll just whiz through it and you can stop me. Bay laurel, rhubarb, dill, pear, sage, asparagus, anise, hyssop. Is that right?
Yes.
Tomatillos, fennel, lettuce, lavender, chives, amaranth, thyme, fig tree, catmint, catnip, okra. Rosemary, all those edible flowers, calendula, pansies, nasturtiums, violas and borage.
Mm-hmm.
Kale, now there's dinosaur, Russian, red and curly, is that right?
Yeah.
Artichokes, globes or Jerusalem, all the berries that you've mentioned. Beans, scarlet, runner and others. Chard, city lights and rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
That's my list.
Well, that's pretty good.
Got any more?
Yeah, I got some more.
Okay, go.
And some of these are a little bit left of field, okay?
Good.
So, I don't think you actually got to taste one, but one I did bring up here that I know Brett hovered into and hoovered was the white sapote.
Yes.
Which
yes, he did, and I did too. I got to have
some
too.
Yeah,
he absolutely loved it. Yeah,
which was just incredible. And you'll never see those in the fruit shop because they will not travel. They're such a thin skin.
That's right.
So there's the white sapote. You want to go a little bit more tropical. There's a plant called babaco, which is a cool climate pawpaw-y type of plant, otherwise known as champagne fruit.
Mm.
You've got bananas. You've got curry leaves, the true curry plant, the Morea. You got tamarillos, and you can get yellow tamarillos, you can get red tamarillos, and they look absolutely stunning in the garden.
Mm.
There's another very specialised plant, and it's called golden fruit of the Andes. Mm. And this is absolutely magnificent, otherwise known as naranjilla. And it is just a fruit that just tastes like fruit salad. It is incredible.
Oh.
And then, of course, there are custard apples,
yum, yum.
Locusts, medlars, persimmons.
Mm.
And then apart from the persimmon, there are plants like hazelnuts, chestnuts, and I've even heard a person that has actually grown a mango here in Melbourne.
Oh.
It would be in an incredibly enclosed area where it'd be having a heat sink, so it'd be probably up against a brick wall, and that would be just the perfect condition for it. But they've actually harvested fruit even here in Melbourne.
That's fantastic. You know. So it's possible anywhere.
Absolutely.
It's possible.
So that's a few. And then, of course, other great lines of plants are things like the citrus.
Yeah.
Now we've got limes, you've got lemons, you've got mandarins, you've got oranges, you've got kumquats, tangelos, blood oranges, Seville oranges. You know, so there's just so many different types of the citrus.
Yes.
Even our native finger limes, for instance,
yes.
are just brilliant because they've got that wonderful little caviar-looking effect
amazing.
Inside. Which
bit
is
thorny,
just,
though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they thorny?
They are a little bit thorny, but that's good.
That's all right. That's nothing wrong with that.
You know, and then there's lots of things that of the vegetable lines, for instance, that you can use climbing over sheds and things. So you could put, as I said, pumpkins, watermelons, rock melons. And there's some great melons. There's one called Moon and Stars, which is a watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Blacktail Mountain, which is a cool climate watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got rock melons. Top of the list is one called Cream of Saskatchewan. Ananas, which is a French variety. The French Charentalis and Eden's Gem.
Mm.
So these are just rock melons. And so there's so many wonderful plants. And if you have an opportunity and you want to see where one of these edible forests actually is to get some great ideas, take a trip to
Yarra Valley Estate.
The Edible Forest.
The Edible Forest, that's right.
Go up there and see Jamie. She'd love to take you around and
she would. She's fantastic.
And explain all the beautiful plants that she's got growing out there as well.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I love the sound of this garden, and who wouldn't? It may sound daunting to some, but there is no reason why an edible garden cannot be built on a small scale. It can either take up the whole garden or form just a small section. Either way, it's an incredibly positive and really sensible idea. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.